chapter 1. We'll get out of that first chapter before too awful long, hopefully. I might be done with it this week. But we'll definitely be referring back to it time and time again. Ephesians chapter 1. This morning I want to kind of look at, as you read through this chapter, you hear, you know, Paul making reference to the church, you know, who they are, what they are, and what they were, and then who Christ is, who he was, and what he's doing. And you can see that over and over again through this, and there's a contrast back from Christ to the believer, back to Christ to the believer, over and over through this first chapter. And that's kind of what I'd like to try to look at this morning and try to get us to get an understanding of. And Paul says, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. See, there's Paul right off the bat. Said, I'm Paul. And I'm apostle by the will of Paul? No, by the will of God. So you see that contrast. Paul, who he was, and then God, what he was doing to and through Paul. Paul, now, he was Saul of Tarsus. Now God has made him to be Paul, an apostle, by the will of God, which is at Ephesus. And to the faithful in Christ Jesus. He says, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, grace to you, but before the Bible said we were enemies of God. We were at enmity with God. But now he says, grace and peace to you. But how is that? Again, through God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We that contrast of who we are without Christ, and now what God's will and what his work is, what he's doing and what he's performed in us, now we who were at enmity with God, now we have grace and peace. Now, we were at war with God in our inner being. Can you remember that? Can you remember back when your members were at war with God? Where you were contrary to Christ in every way. Amen. I want you to reflect on that. We're not supposed to forget Amen. What we were. Amen. I was talking to my son-in-law last night, and he said he had heard this message by a guy, and we was kind of discussing some things, and he said that the average Christian, when they get saved, after they saved about 7 to 8 years, over 80% of their friends now will be believers. Christ, though, was a friend to who? Publicans and sinners. That's part of our problem. Next thing you know, we're in a huddle, and we huddle up around, you know, our group, and we don't reach out. We're no longer friends with publicans and sinners. Well, we forgot what we were before Christ. And we don't have that the same. We can't be letting God guide us, because Jesus came in the world to seek and to save sinners. Amen. It's not a Thursday thing. It's not a Saturday morning thing that we do. And I think everybody that's taking part and coming out Saturday, you know, we're getting the Word of God out. And I thank you for everybody that's going out Thursdays, and, you know, taking the Word of God out. But it's an everyday thing. The Bible says that we're to take and make friends of the unrighteous mammon. God said this man was wise because he went out and made friends with the unrighteous mammon, that he might be received into the eternal abode. That's part of it, you see, reaching out to the lost. You're not, God made it plain right there. You're not wise if you forget who you were and you don't keep reaching out to the unrighteous. We are the body of Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places. You remember how it was to be without Christ? Life was all about the next thing, the next vacation, the next new car, the next whatever to try to make you happy. Huh? Why? Because you were miserable and naked and poor and blind and didn't realize it. But everything changed because of Him. He said, blessed be the God and Father our Lord, who has blessed us, or in other words, made us happy with the spiritual things that He's put in our life, the spiritual blessings.
Amen.
In heavenly places in Christ, according as He had chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world. You know, I brought it out last week. He said, many are called, but few are chosen. But you're in Christ, not because you chose Him. You're in Christ because He chose you. And why did He choose you? He chose you because you believed Him. Once you were presented with the gospel, you believed what He said, He chose you and put you in the blood. How shall they believe? Yeah, how shall they believe? Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. I talked to a young woman yesterday. I asked her, he knows exactly, he was with me. I asked her, there's one thing about it. We're all going to have to do this. We're all going to have to die. I said, unless Christ comes and takes us out by the rapture, we're all going to have to die one day. And I said, do you know that if you were to die, I didn't ask if she was going to go to heaven. I just asked her, I said, do you know that Jesus Christ would receive you into Himself? She said, well, I hope He would. What's it? These things have God written into you, that you may know that you have eternal life and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. And we're going to talk. I said, you know who the Son of God is? She didn't know who the Son of God was. I asked her two or three questions. She didn't come and answer none of them. She didn't know. Simple things that we take for granted. She didn't know. I said, how long have you been going to church? She said she was going to church. I said, how long have you been going to church? She didn't want to answer that, but the point is, how shall they hear without a preacher? And I begin to try to expound to her what Jesus Christ had done to her, done for her, how He had took our punishment for everything, ever sin that we've committed against God, that God loved us, and He gave His Son to do this, and tried to expound that on her. And she started feeling nervous. She got to feeling nervous, and I know who made her feel nervous. Huh? The God of this world. Some little imp that He following us around. He wasn't following her around. He's following us around. But we was out there going to take the gospel out. So He's following us around. And whenever we come to one of His, you know, He wants to try to shut that down. So she was trying to scare it out. But I said, I told her, please, will you please read this? She said, yeah. And I said, and I left her with this one thing. I said, the Bible said, if you call on Him, if you see your need for Jesus Christ and just call on Him, He will be there for you.
Amen.
But how shall he hear without a preacher? How? And He has chosen us before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Notice it. That we should be holy. There ain't no way we're going to be holy without Him. I've read writings of some of the holiness preachers in the past, and oh my goodness. I said, man, if I had to try to live by what they're saying right here, I said, I'd quit. I said, I'd have to be a liar. I'd have to say things about myself I know is not true to be able to stay in this movement. You have to say, well, I don't do nothing wrong anymore. I used to be a sinner, but now I've been saved by the grace of God, and now I don't sin. I don't do nothing wrong. I'm not what I used to be, and now I'm holy in Christ. Then I'd have to lie to myself. I couldn't do that. I couldn't live that kind of life. But we are made holy, set apart by God Himself. Not as though we were holy in ourselves. We're set apart in Christ and made holy for His use. Set apart for Him to use us. For we are His body. We are members of His body, each one of us. And we are to be used by Him, set apart for His use. Now, I used to hear this all the time, and people say, you know, make yourself usable, you know, God won't use an unclean vessel and all this and everything. I said, well, who the devil is He going to use? I said, I've been around this crowd long enough. I know that I've heard them lie and everything else. It's the best of them. They used to go out on bus visitation. We'd get out there and they'd get out and just come ride the bus this week. We're going to have hot dogs on the bus this big. Get it? This big. They get on the bus, they're expecting a hot dog this long. What is that? Why? Or Tim says, come to church this week. We're going to have all you can eat pizza on the bus. Little kid gets on the bus, he's all excited. Boy, can't wait for the pizza. You bring him a slice of pizza out there and eat it. He says, where's the more pizza? What's the more pizza? He said, ain't no more. You said it was all you can eat pizza. I said, well, when you eat it all, it's all you can eat. We think that's funny, but it ain't. It's lying. It's sneaky. It's devious. Why would you do little youngins like that? They're just like little dogs. You kick them and they come back later. I mean, I don't know. Maybe I'm being too harsh, but I think, you know, truth is truth. And if you're scratching it, you're lying.
Amen.
If you're going to have all you can eat pizza, you make sure there's enough there that everybody gets all they want. Now, if you just say we're going to have pizza on the bus, you know, then that's it. They decide whether they want to come get their one slice or whatever you got, you know. Don't sit there and make it out to be something with me. This is the work of God. We are to take it seriously. Amen?
Amen.
If it's God doing the work, then He can get it done. He don't need our flouring it up a little bit. You know what I mean? Trying to sprinkle sugar on. We just need to do what God tells us to do. And be as holy as we can possibly be in ourselves. And when we have done wrong, admit it and deal with it. I used to, back when I was a young fellow, I went to a Methodist church and one of the ladies there, she was an old time Wesleyan. Good lady, loved the Lord. And I remember she used to say, she was talking about, you know, when somebody did her wrong, she forgave it and forgot it. And I said, I believe you forget, you know, you forgave it, but I don't really believe you forgot it. I mean, and I know what she was saying, choose to forget it. Every time it comes up, you say, I didn't forgive it, that's gone. That's what she meant by it.
Yeah.
You know? But you know that the devil will bring stuff up to you He'll show you what you are, what you've done, and what you did this week. You lie to yourself. Hey, how straight do you stand with that plumb bob that come down from heaven? How straight are you with that? That's what we got to examine ourselves by. And this book will lay the line to our life. And it'll tell us right quick how to unlevel we are. Well, we're to be holy. And the only way we can be holy is through His holiness working in us and through us. He has chosen us that we should be holy and, look at it, without blame. Without blame. Notice what it says, without blame before Him in love. I used to work a bus with somebody a time or two I've worked with. He'd come down there and he'd sweep the bus from the front to the back, open up the door, and sweep it out the door going down the road. To give him a prisoner or something to do. That's the way people treat this world. That's the way we treat the things that God has put us in charge with. If we ain't careful, we'll just trash it up. We're going to give an account one day. You know, we were made to be stewards over this earth. Wonder how mankind stands. The only way that we can be found without blame is in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only one without blame. Surely we can't take to ourselves and say, well, I haven't done anything that I deserve to stand in front of God and give an account for. I've been a pretty good guy all my life. Well, you're deceived. You're blind as a bat. You ain't reading your Bible. You ain't looking into the mirror. Like the preacher said last week, you looked in there and they had the boogers in the corner of your eye, your hair was all out of whack, and you said, oh, it ain't too bad, and turn around and walked off, you know? Huh? Hopefully when we go to the mirror, we're going to look and our hair is all sticking out kind of crazy and do like that, and you see all stuff taped up between your teeth, you're going to try to scrub a little of that out, and, you know? Throw a little bit of Listerine in there, try to kill some of them germs, wash your face real good, comb your hair. You know, walk out there and not look like a total barbarian, you know, like a monkey out of the zoo or something, you know. Go, you want, you know, that's what a mirror's for. Having predestined us into the adoption of children by Jesus Christ Himself. You know, most children that get adopted, they don't have much say in it. They don't have a whole lot to say in it. We were predestinated into the adoption of children in Christ Jesus. The moment we come in Christ Jesus, you didn't have no say about it. You were put into the adoption and then you were His. The moment you went into Christ. We are adopted and put within, the promises that belong to the nation of Israel. We were His chosen people. We were adopted into that. Into the adoption of children by Jesus Christ, notice this, to Himself. And notice this, according to the good pleasure of His will. He didn't do it to please you. Why did He do it? To please Himself. He did it to please Himself. That should make us happy. That us being adopted into His family pleases him and makes him happy. You can get up in the morning, go in there, go in front of that mirror, you might look all terrible. You might have had bad dreams that night, get up there and look. But if you just remember that one thing, that you were put into the body of Christ to please him, you can be happy. You got one thing to start off being happy about.
Amen.
He's just so happy that you're part of his family. It just pleases him to no end. There used to be a song some years ago that says, "What makes the angels rejoice?" It ain't the angels that's rejoicing when a sinner comes to Christ. It's God the Father that's rejoicing. It's not the angels. The angels are looking at him. Man, what's he so excited about? The Bible said they desire to look into these things. Why? Because they see how it affects God. It pleases him. It makes him happy. When you came and accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, God himself took an account of it. It was important to him. He rejoiced. He said, over one sinner. Not multitudes of sinners, not thousands of sinners, so every time he rejoices in himself. What he has done through the Lord Jesus Christ, it pleases him and makes him happy. And you know, we can look at that and, boy, we can be glad that God is pleased to save us. It pleased God to do this. It makes him happy. It's according to his will. It's his heart. It's his heart throb. It's his mind. It's his desire. It's his pleasure. To the praise of the glory of his grace. Man, we didn't do anything to earn it, to deserve it. It's grace. And it's all his grace. I tell you what, when you go out here and sit down a little bit, and you're sitting out there, you ought to just sit there and you see. And think about the grace of God that planted you on that seat to hear the Word of God this morning. Huh? Think about it a little bit. Think about where your home, what your home is. No matter what's going on down here, it don't make no difference. The grace of God has pleased God to put you into his family. It's pleased God to make you part of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. It pleases him to use you and let you work with him. And it ought to please us when we, if we just think about it.
Amen.
Huh? I guarantee you there's a lot of kids out there that maybe play a little basketball. Man, if they could get an opportunity to work out with Michael Jordan, you reckon that would, man, make them happy? Huh? Of course it would. I don't even like basketball much. But if I had an opportunity to play around with Michael Jordan for a little bit, it'd probably make me, you know, say, smile a little bit even, you know? Just to talk to him, know him, you know. But think about this. Every morning you get up with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and his ear is inclined. You want to talk to me this morning?
Amen.
Huh? You want to walk with me this morning? You want to work with me this morning? Come here. I'll slip the yoke on. I'll do most of the work. We'll walk along the way, and I'll teach you, and I'll show you. It's a grace. It's a grace. How we are to praise God and glorify him for this wonderful grace that's been bestowed upon us. That we would be children of God, heirs together with him, working together for what God's going to produce in that new heaven and a new earth. We can have as much a part of it as we want. We can invest as much into it as we want. to the praise of his glory, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. Who's the beloved? That's Jesus. Amen. We've been accepted. Hey, the only way we were accepted was in Christ. He would not accept us apart from Christ. Without Christ, we would have perished. Without Christ, we'd be cast away. We'd be cast off. We'd be taken away and put into the refuge of Gehenna to be burnt. We'd be no more than trash, dirt, filth, all scourings of this world. But we've been accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood. Before that, we were just wild things. We were the children of this world. We had no shepherd. We had nobody to care for us. The God of this world's only desire was to destroy us. And the only thing that kept him from this, only thing that keeps him from killing every last man, woman, boy, and child on this earth right now is the grace of God. Because I'm going to tell you, if Satan had his will, he would take his armies and cut down every soul upon this earth. Because he hates us. Because God loves us. Wherein he hath abounded toward us, notice this, in all wisdom and prudence. Hey, we didn't know nothing. We still don't, apart from Jesus Christ. Think about it. But he hath abounded unto us, what? He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom. All his wisdom is available. And prudence, which is understanding. Oh. You understand why you're here? You understand what God's will is for you?
Amen.
You understand what God would like to do this morning in this church, in you, through you, this morning? All understand. The wisdom. Have made known unto us the mystery of his will. According to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. He wants us to know what it is that he is doing. And he wants us to be involved in it. He wants us to get deeply involved in it. He wants us to sell out for it. He wants us to give ourselves completely to it. That's what he wants. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. See, that's his will. To gather in souls, that they all might be one in Christ. Those which are in heaven. Those which are on earth. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance. See, without it we had nothing. We had what we could gather in this world, which was nothing but dust. Gather up all you want to in this world, and God said, you're a fool. This night your soul is going to be required of you. Jesus said, lay not up for yourselves treasure on this earth where moth and rust doth and corrupt and where thieves break in and steal. Hey, but look, send your treasures up to heaven. Build a nest egg up there, you know. All these churches want to get a little nest egg for a rainy day. Want to just try to get that we're taking that money when it comes through the church, it ought to go to reaching people. All of it. All the time. You say, well, we got to have a little bit to run on. You don't think I can supply? churches today. I've never seen to be. Some of them have millions of dollars that they got laid up in the bank. I know a little old church over there, I'm not going to say where, who, what, but I know. Just a little old church, not a big church, just a little old church. It got over $1 million in the bank. Got it laid up for a rainy day. I guess when God takes a church out of here, that thing will still run, you know what I'm saying? To keep on going. I don't know. I don't understand that. Down to this space, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him that worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. You know, He's not asking nobody's opinion on how to do this. He doesn't need our advice on how to build a church. He don't need our advice on how to take care of our family or how to run our families. He don't need our advice. We need His. We need His. We need His counsel. Over in the Old Testament, He's coming to meet us. Let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as wool. Though they be red like crimson, it should be white as snow. It's His counsel that we need. Over in the book of Proverbs, He said, you've neglected, you put away all my counsel. He said, you would none of my reproof. I wonder how many altar tramps we have in our Baptist churches today. Preacher get up and preach and nail. I mean, God points out problems that we have in our own lives, and we know it's true. We'll admit it, but when nothing ever changes. And Jesus said this thing, why call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? According to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will, that we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ. Now, you want God to be glorified? You want God to be glorified in His church? You want God to be glorified out there in this world, wherever you go? You want to see God glorified? Then you're going to have to back up and do what we just read right up above there. What is it? That we give heed to His counsel? We do what He tells us to do. We yield ourselves to Him. Remember, He's the head of the body. We're just the fingers, the feet, and the, you know. We can't lean to what... You go ahead. You can lean to your understanding and try to do it your way. And you can do all you want to. It ain't going to come to nothing. It's going to have to be Christ as we yield up ourselves to Him completely. Said to whom you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and whom after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. You got nothing to boast on in yourself. It's Him only that's put you within His family, that saved your soul, that's given you this opportunity, hey, to bring honor and praise and glory unto Him. He said, which is the earnest of our inheritance until we're sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. He's not going nowhere. Jesus said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. He said, I put my seal upon you. You are mine. He said, I will keep you. Though everything, you know, it's like old preacher said one time, he said, boy, he said, you in Jesus' hand and you in the Father's hand. He said, you know what would happen if the devil could get to you? He'd have to come through the Father. He'd have to come through the Son. He'd have to come through the blood of Jesus Christ. And you know what you'd have? You'd have a saved devil. Amen. Well, the devil would be able to get to you to your soul, to the things that God has kept, he'd have to be a saved devil. Because he'd have to come through the blood of Christ, through the protection and the keeping of God Almighty. Wherefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, man, that spoke to me. I don't know about you. Love toward all the saints. See, it's not, wait a minute. We were chosen in him before the foundation of the world. Somewhere out there, there's a saint that ain't been brought in yet. Do you love them? Are you looking for them? Brother Rick said something to me about 3 years ago. Rick spoke to me. He said, when I go out now and I'm talking and witnessing somebody, he said, I'm not trying to get them saved. He said, you know what I'm doing? He said, I'm looking for Jesus in their eyes. He's looking, watching God has formed himself in them because they heed and hear the word of God and believe on it. And there's something inside them that says that that's what they want. And Betty, when that happens, fix it. There's a change. And them windows right there, he's looking for Christ in them. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened. See, that's what he's looking for. You men that's been soul winning before. You ever sitting there talking to somebody and all of a sudden you see a light go on in their face? All of a sudden they see it. More than likely that right then is when they got saved. Because they believed. And they wanted it. Yes, I understand. They don't get that understanding apart from Christ. That you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory. Amen. The hope of his calling. That blessed hope. Man, one of these days, if anything makes me excited, it ain't that one day there ain't gonna be no more sin in y'all. That'd be wonderful. I'm glad. You know? But you know, it ain't other people's sin that bothers me that much. That sin in this old body here is what? For that blessed hope, one of these days. The Bible said, when I see him, I'll see him as he is, for I shall be like him. And I'll be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And this mortal will put on immortality, and this corruptible is going to put on incorruption. And you ask me, am I going to dance across heaven? I'm going to be excited, praise God, to be free from the pains of sin that's in this body. I deal with that thing, and sometimes it disgusts me so bad. But I look at him, and I get that hope. I start thinking about that blessed hope. That one of these days, it's going to be gone. Praise God. Huh? What is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. Amen. Hey, we've been raised dead spiritually. Praise God. One of these days, we're going to be raised dead and this body's going to be raised. Immortal. Incorruptible. Our loved ones is laying out there on the ground. Their bodies done gone back to the dust. God's going to lift them up. That's the blessed hope. And no corruption in them. Boy, y'all won't get together and think about all the times that they did wrong or the things and how they hurt you. And you know, we've all got family members especially. They'll hurt you the worst, you know. Things that they said and done. That's going to be gone. It's going to be gone. You're not going to be thinking about that. You're going to be seeing them the same way you see Christ, because they're all going to be the same. Without sin. That's going to be a blessed day. You won't be coming to service and wonder who's going to give a preacher a hard time today. Or who the preacher's going to give a hard time today. Well, they do that too, don't they?
Amen.
Huh? They get things on their heart and mind. Sometimes they'll say some things that they ought not. Pretty one a preacher preached last week. Said, "Lord, help me not say things that are stupid. I'm going to preach on being stupid. Now help me not say stupid things." He knows he said things and did things before in his past where he was wrong and he wounded and hurt people. We all have, haven't we?
Amen.
Praise God. What do you think? It ain't going to happen no more. But I'll tell you what, as we mature in Christ, it ought to happen less and less, too. It ought to happen less and less. We're to ask God to help us to grow. Which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead, set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And he hath put all things under his feet, gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. That last bit right there, that should concern us the most out of everything we read. I want you to look at that. Which is his body. Now, I'm looking at it right now. I'm looking at his body. Look at what he said about what does his body do? Which is his body, the fullness of him. The fullness of him that filleth all. I said this the other week. When we go out this way, when we go out these doors today, we're going to this sanctuary. We're going to fill it up. We're going to fill it up with Christ today. We're going to let God so fill us up today. We're going to go out here. We're going to fill the church up with Christ today. There's going to be such a spirit of the Christ that we're yielded to and let him have his way. Let him fill us, our mind, our heart. Get all that junk out of our minds that this week that trouble us and say, Christ, oh, be filled. Fill me today.
Amen.
Have your way. Fill up this church auditorium, hey, with the Spirit of Christ because he filled us up. Hey, then we walk out them doors, you go over there, hey, baby, you're going to go out and get something to eat? Go take your mama out for Mother's Day meal or something like that. When you get over to the restaurant, fill that place. I've seen God do that. I've seen God arrest some in times past. I've seen him arrest some restaurants. An old fella get up there and ask the manager, hey, would you mind if I preach? He said, no, go ahead. And God Almighty arrest that restaurant, man preaching. God, people get born again. And rejoicing because God took his body and allowed him to fill him to make a difference and filled all in all. Let's go to the Lord in prayer.